It's funny you bring that, you say that, because I was watching, I don't know how many of y'all watch The Boys, the series on Amazon Prime. If y'all not, y'all bugging, that shit fire. But on there, one of the main characters, Homelander, he was just sick of whatever he said, everybody just went because they all scared him. So he legit in this new season went out and got the smartest person on the planet, like that's their superpower or whatever, happens to be a black woman, to help bounce ideas off of, because he's like, man, y'all ain't gonna never tell me shit. It's always gonna be, if I say the sky purple, I'm like, yep, purple as hell. That's right, you the man. If you say it's purple, it's purple. So I get what he's saying, like, no matter what, like we need to be on the same page in general, but you also do need somebody to give you a little pushback and make sure he give you something to think about, other than I'm always just gonna be right. Like sometimes you gotta disagree and commit, but you still disagree. You still at least let it be known. Because what happens then is, then that person, if you turn out to be right, now your word means more the next time around. Now I could be like, you know what? Bro told me last time, don't do it that way. I did it being stubborn, and he was right. So I'll at least consider it. I'll at least weigh in what he's saying versus just automatically dismissing him. And you know, so yeah, you do want somebody around you that's gonna give you a little bit of pushback just to bounce ideas off of. But you know, we'll see. He fresh with us. I wasn't, I was all DVD. It still bring DVD back for me, but you know, it did. We'll see how Chevis worked. And he had to let him pick his guy, so what could you do? I mean, he was becoming a hot commodity, at least in the media. So you had to worry about protecting your investment in Guidry. And you don't have his successor yet because he's only been there a year. So it's not like you could just swing around and be like, okay, this guy's ready to take over. He knows the defense. He can run the defense if Guidry leaves. So you gave him that guy, hopefully. And, you know, maybe it's an opportunity there. We'll see. Yeah, it's all going to depend on how the whole Lance Guidry situation plays out. You know, because if he has another good year, especially if we win the way that, you know, the expectation is for us this year, even beyond the fan base, I mean, in Vegas, you know, we're hovering right around that 10 win mark this year
Yeah, nine and a
by most
half, I think
odds.
it's at, or
Yeah,
something
nine
like
and a
that.
half, yeah, by most odds makers. So the expectations are up all around. It's not just the fans. It's not just us saying it. It's the amount of talent and the schedule. And they're saying, hey, and, you know, some consistency within the coaching staff that people are saying, yeah, this team should win about 10 games. So again, see how that goes, and then see how, if you know, the Guidry hype train starts firing back up again. You got to be prepared to weather these kind of storms.
They just
Bro, I'm
resigned.
just.
They just gave
Yeah,
Giddy
they gave
more
him a
money, right?
raise. They gave him a raise. Bro,
They had, right?
I'm just nervous for J. I'm just nervous for JT, bro. That's I'm be honest. I'm nervous for JT because the Dolphins came calling, and he ain't take the bait. But I think we might be okay with him because his son on the team now. So I think he probably gone. And I think his son got what, 3 years left, 2 or 3 years left. So I think he gonna stick around. But JT, I think JT gonna be a hot commodity, but.
That boy ain't playing no football with
Man,
nobody.
listen, they
Hey, he ain't got to play. As long as his daddy coaching.
it's a lot of colleges came calling. It's a lot of he's just gonna be a hot commodity because for one, he's a golden jacket. He's a good recruiter, good coach. They coming. I'm gonna just keep it a buck. I don't think we have him for that much longer. So we gotta enjoy him while we can. And you know, continue to just build. You know, other than that, just continue to build. But yeah, he's definitely one who's, you know, I mean, I'm gonna just face, I'm saying it's gonna be a point where he's gonna have to make a real tough decision if he wants to still do it for the kids or if he just, you know what I'm
So you
saying?
think it's NFL, or you think another college could take it possibly?
Yeah, I think he goes to the NFL.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I think he wanted to cut his teeth a little bit more. I think he enjoys, you know, because remember, he did coach at high school level too. And this guy, you know, obviously a multimillionaire, so this is passion for him. But I think he has aspirations to be a NFL defensive coordinator and possibly head coach at some point. So
I don't even know. Leia, so much.
You said the key word, right? I think. And so at St. Thomas, he was the defensive coordinator there. Mm-hmm. And right now we have him as defensive line coach. I'm not saying it could happen, but if it just so happened, Guidry, you know what I'm saying, decides to leave for greener pastures, hey, I wouldn't mind just, hey, man, here you go. I wouldn't mind putting that title on him, co-DC or something.
We could give him the co-DC job now. Like, you could give him that title. But again, I don't think he wants to be a defensive coordinator. I think he wants to coach that position group, and he wants just to focus on that D-line group.
Yeah, I can't see him going to another college because he might have to. He can recruit, but Mario does so much recruiting that, like, he at another school, he might have to damn recruit so much to where he might not like it. And then
he had to go nowhere. Like, this was up the street, around the corner. You know, I do this. They ain't got to move.
The one thing I think what makes him stays at Miami and the university, like you say, he's from Miami. Well, he lives here. He lives down here. And then his sister loves it. And I think she wants to keep him here. So
I love his sister.
Yeah, whatever it takes to keep her down there.
Sister, she loves.
Joy, tell it to Miami. You.
Yeah, make her a position coach. Keep that nigga there.
I know. Whatever she wants, she can have it.
Whatever she wants.
She be on Green Tree a lot, boy. I be seeing a lot of pictures out there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she be out there. That baby.
Man, you know what I like about her too, though? Like, I didn't never listen to like her podcast, but I heard clips of it. She talk that talk. I like that shit. Like,
yo,
she on her shit.
I was just about to say, shout out to Joy Taylor and Taylor Rooks.
Taylor Rooks, yeah.
I call them mac and cheese and yams, you know?
They can touch. You don't have the mac and cheese and yams touch. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but they podcast is dope, all jokes aside. Like, they give a good little perspective. But, yeah, man, like, just Jason Taylor, just, you know, I don't think he'd go to another college, but I mean, you know, but he's not in a rush. Like, he's going to leave on his terms. I don't think he's going to get wooed for a job. Like, he can make an NFL call right now if he wanted an NFL job. He got them kind of
connects. 2 years in a row, they wanted him at the NFL level. And that's even before he became the actual position coach at Miami. This past season, they was calling it. And I would be honest, from the talks that I was getting, I was nervous because I was like, man, we might lose JT. We going to end up losing a guy. We about to lose maybe three to four coaches to the NFL. And I'm like, damn, man, I hope this don't happen. And that's crazy because we were 7-5. And you think, okay, well, that's not a good season, but – NFL teams come and calling for your coaches. And you like, well, shit, guys, the fuck? Hey, that means something. You know what I'm saying? They don't want no sorry coaches.
Right.
But I ain't gonna lie. I already knew that thing was gonna happen. The Tim Harris, he wants to be that offensive coordinator. I think he went back to a situation where he could do that. And you know, Coach Jason Taylor, I just like, yeah, man, it depends on how much he loves to coach kids, young adults, opposed to going to the NFL having to deal with grown men every day. You know what I'm saying? So right now he wants to stick around and coach the younger guys as of right now.
Speaking of coaches leaving, if we have a crazy, say we have a crazy explosive offense this year, you think Dawson start looking? I mean, shit. Any of them. Like, what if, like, a Oklahoma somebody can call him for him or something like that? Or
I don't think he looks for an offensive coordinator job. It has to make sense. A head coaching job. He loves Miami as far as being an offensive coordinator. So he's not going to go to another school to be offensive coordinator. He's going to go to be a head coach.
Right.
So it got to make sense. Yeah, definitely got to make sense for him. I think we have Guidry and Dawson for at least 2 years, two more years. We have to start looking around and or trying to add pieces to add to your coach staff, because for one, most schools, nobody was giving Dawson an opportunity. So he's going to ride. He's going to ride out with Miami.
Which is weird, though, because he had some pretty good offenses at Houston.
I mean, not Dawson, Guidry. Nobody was giving Guidry the opportunity to be a
He got that little background thing, too.
He's loyal. That's he's cool. Real loyal to Mario. Right. He loves cool. Miami. Yeah, that's why he's down here.
Like so three he times.
Opportunity where you say, okay, you're going to be the head coach. It's not going to be DC no more. And the same with Dawson. It's not going to be OC. It's going to be either I'm head coach or I'm not. I'm going to stay in Miami because Miami, I have the best opportunity. What else I need?
Keep having talent too.
Yeah, if you play
it, you ain't got to worry about KB. You know, you ain't got to worry about Mirabon. You ain't got to worry about
the tight end coach.
Coach Joe might be the one that could possibly go to the NFL also.
I think this is last year. Me personally, I think this is
last year, wasn't he?
He applied for the Detroit Lions.
He was a finalist for the Detroit Lions defensive line coach job, but he didn't get it. Somebody got it over him.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to end up going to the league, which is good for him. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he wants to do anybody. I know, man, Mario, you gotta work.
Yeah, I don't think he want to do all that recruiting either.
It's a lot, you know what I'm saying? So I just think, again, like you say, yeah, some teams came calling, and that'll be best for him to help grown men, you know what I'm saying? Where he ain't just got to keep trying to go to anybody's house and stuff like that.
Hey, yeah, quick question, X. When you was talking about how Mario, like, he requires a lot of you, I don't know why I feel like this, but does Dawson do a whole bunch of recruiting? I feel like I never see his name. Yeah, I ain't think so.
And he's just strictly quarterback. He don't recruit nothing else.
Dawson will be he will identify who he wants at quarterback, and then that's it. He knows Mario and the rest of the staff are gonna get the playmakers. He don't care.
So that means Mario thinks that highly of him running his offense to where I don't care if you out here on the road recruiting like that.
He trying to get quarterbacks, and if they can't, he gonna go to the portal. But he know Mario and the rest of the staff gonna get them what they want. He knows KB gonna get the best wide receivers for him. He knows Mirabon's gonna get the offensive lineman ready for him. He knows now the tight end coach is gonna get his guy. So all he's focused on is let me just try to keep getting his quarterback room ready.
Which I think that's kind of common for OCs when you really look around college football. In a way, I can't think of too many OCs that you put in that top recruiter type category.
It tends to be
position coaches. And they kind of let the OCs and the DCs be more your strategists.
Well, they feel like
you might be able to help.
Mostly what they would do is they'll be like, okay, well, these are the players I want.
Right. And, you know, like a wish list.
Yeah, these are the players I want. But with Dawson is not even saying, oh, these are the players I want. He's like, okay, man.
Give me the idea. I'll make it work.
That's what you want for your position? All right, cool with
it. I like it. I ain't got no issue with that. I think that's
especially when you know that a lot of them are elite coming in. Like, what else? What can you really say?
Right. I ain't worrying about, like, I'm gonna let y'all handle that part, and then I'm gonna draw the X and O's, and it's gonna work. If you get me a solid slot guy, I'm gonna show you how I can use him, and you get me a solid outside, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. So, you know, that's when schools have had success. There's a certain level of continuity there, or like if you look at Alabama, there's always that turnover factor, but is something that Mario's trying to kind of emulate too as well.
The system just in place.
Right, you have a system, and you have a cabinet of guys that are, what do they call them, the analysts. So, you know, you work in that angle too of having a lot of guys around the program that are essentially just waiting on a coaching position. And it may come within the program, depending on if you have departures. So you know, somebody comes in and scoops Woodyel or Woodell or whatever his name is. You know, you got a guy already in the wings that's been working, you know, shoulder to shoulder with him. So now it's not a total change around in the guard, which is super smart. And with you not having those limitations, as far as like, you can have all of them you want, as much as you can afford. And now that Miami's investing in that, now the coach can go say, hey, I need to add two more analysts. And they go, all right, how much we need? All right. And you got Radakovic working with him. Now you got him working hand in hand. And then now, actually brings up a subject we was going to speak on anyways, is Julio Franks has stepped out of the position. He's taking a position at UCLA. I don't know if he's the president there. I can't quite remember what the position
is. Chancellor.
Chancellor.
He's supposed to be like the high chancellor or something like that.
Which is dope. And shout out to him. He you know, he listened to the people around him when he came to Miami, and told him that athletics was important. He made sure that there was, you know, the push to make it happen, you know, because the big thing was that, you know, this guy isn't a sports guy. He's a medicine guy. So, you know, he'll give two shits, basically, which you have with, I think you have with Shalala. But I think the difference is he listened to people. And the people around him was telling him, yo, man, we got to get the athletics back on point. We got to do. And he's like, all right, cool, make it happen. And you know, so shout out to him for doing that and getting out of the way, and creating the way in both ways, depending on, you know, how you look at the situation. And so now Franks is gone. The interim president, what's his name? How do you say his name?
He's like Echevarria, or something like that. Yeah,
Echevarria. Who also was pretty instrumental in a lot of the business that happened with facilities getting Mario hired. Excuse me. You know, basically the changing of the guard and moving into the modern era of football. So a lot of people are kind of excited about this hire. He was already the CEO, so he was already within the system.
But I don't know if it's a. I think it's just. It's not an actual hire. I think it's just an
intern. It's interim right now, right?
Yeah, intern right now.
You're right. So
I got a phone call about that when I said that when they hired. They're like, man, we didn't hire no. I'm like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, he's interim right now. There's some speculation that, you know, he could be the guy who knows. You know, but. I think
he's one guy that cares. He cares 1,000% about football, though.
It got a quote from him here. Actually, Maul sent to the group. He said, I don't have hobbies. I like my kids and Miami sports. That's it. So that goes to show you the type of passion you'll be bringing around. So you talking about a guy that's gonna be like, yo, we gotta keep this thing moving. We gotta keep this machine rolling. You know, if he did get the position, I think it'd be awesome because you're keeping the pieces in place that understood the importance of Miami football. And of course, other things grow out of that, right? Like, you know, other sports, baseball, definitely. They shout out the baseball team. They are making a lot of portal moves, trying to get that trash ass product off the field.
Yeah, they got like a top five portal class.
Yeah, it's been god awful.
Yeah, them boys trash.
All they do is get beat by Florida every year. Every year I wait for it, and every year Florida spank that ass. This shit got to stop, man. I know the focus ain't there right now, but again, but that's the thing. If you get the added success in football, it adds the opportunity to give some of that money on over to the baseball team and say, all right, here, we give you all this. Go make it happen. But it's all going to have to start like it all originally did, like you helped did. It's all going to have to start on that football field in order for the money to pour out into these other avenues. And then, you know, with all this conference realignment stuff, I kind of would like a guy like that in place as well, a businessman, you know, all about the dollars and making it make sense. So I know he don't have a job yet. Maybe he'll get it. Maybe he won't. But just hearing the name and understanding, you know, his role he's played around the school, I was excited that he's even given that interim opportunity to definitely, I'm sure he's going to throw his name in the hat. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, so have you seen?
I like them.
Did you see? I think we about we gonna fall into a conference, man. And to be honest, my I think we gonna fall into the Big 12. I'm gonna tell you why. You know, they looking into that overseas company, man, that's willing to invest like billions of dollars into the Big 12. Like, it's getting crazy, man. I think if they get that deal, they're gonna be like the first conference to do so.
Yeah, I don't know who's left that big that would even go over there though after that.
With the money, so the new money that they will be getting will be like equivalent to almost what the Big Ten. Well, they'll be second to the Big Ten.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's money they got to pay back, right? Like, they're getting an infusion of cash essentially, and pretty much the private equity company, their expectation is we give you this money, we infuse money into your conference, your teams are able to use it, grow, and we expect you guys to make more return on investment. So when your next deal is up, you know, you have the ability to pay it back in time. My only worry about that is if it goes bad, do you want to be one of them schools, you know, that might be on the hook for it? In terms of Big 12, I think the only way Miami would do Big 12 is if Florida State, Clemson went Big 12 as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that shit.
Otherwise, I think you just wait. I think the Big Ten's gonna be there whenever it is. But we got to see what happens, because like even with the court case that's going on in Leon County, yesterday, if you listen to some of the quotes, right, they're like it's Florida State fighting the ACC. But when the judge is speaking, the judge is saying things like Florida State and Miami are these. And it's just letting me know that once the Florida State case ends, however it ends, we're going to have the flexibility to make whatever move we need to make, because you can't allow Florida State to get these things because it affects Miami too. Miami just doesn't make sense for us to go to court because we're a private school, and what Florida State's using to even build up a case, it's more so sunshine laws, that kind of thing. But Miami's going to benefit from Florida State and Clemson's case going well, because once you let one school out, all schools get to negotiate if they want to leave. But yeah. My problem is if you're going to leave the conference, you have to pay money to leave. I don't want to pay money and then rely on a loan to recoup those funds. I want to go to a conference where the payout is set. You know, if it works out for them, let it work out for Texas Tech and them boys. I don't want to be attached to that.
You can get me with no car loan.
Your fingers crossed the whole time.
Conference put us on the 360 deal. What they call it?
Niggas gonna get a piece of everything. Nah, I'm cool. I don't want to owe nobody. Yeah, it's so funny too, because you hear like Florida State fans be like, "Oh, it will be." I'm like, you clearly don't know how law works, bro. All we got to do is go here. Here's the Florida State case.
When somebody say all you got to do, that's not all you got to do.
Well, I mean, in the sense of they think that we wouldn't be in line after them.
No, and I know what you mean. Say, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense, bro. Like, you would take that case and say, here, you granted Florida State the right to leave. Tell us why we can't now.
And not only that, if you're
and we a private school on top of that.
Like, if you're the Big Ten, right, why would you only want Tallahassee, Florida? If I'm going to go into Florida, I'm going to get Tallahassee, I'm going to get Miami, and be able to kind of get everything in between, right? Like, if I'm going to make a business move.
Right, because you got I'm, South,
South, because North. Getting Florida State and people who are national, I listen to a lot of national stuff, like national podcast that talk about realignment. Some people think, you know, Tallahassee's the capital, so it all, like, the entire state of Florida goes to Tallahassee. I'm like, no, look at the map. You know, you, there's nothing near Tallahassee that is resources, things. There's no airport. No one flies. Someone from Chicago not flying into Tallahassee.
But that's a little boy.
If you get Tallahassee, Miami, it would do so much more to have the state. And to me, I think the Big Ten, they're only going to want Florida State if they know they're getting Miami as well. Because otherwise, it don't really make sense to just have Florida State.
Yeah, that, bro.
Let me tell you how dumb these people are, right? So they trying to get the ACC to expose the contracts and all the paperwork and stuff like that. The ACC don't want to do it. Guess what? The SEC don't want the ACC to do it. The Big Ten don't want the ACC to do it. Each conference is saying, we don't want y'all to be exposed by showing these people these contracts, because
that means we're going to have to show our shit.
No. Once you do it, yeah. Everybody going to have to show it. It's like, so I'm telling my homeboy who's a Florida State fan, I'm saying it's dumb, because even if y'all get out that contract, guess what? That next conference y'all get in, they're going to keep fucking y'all. Because y'all did something that wasn't supposed to. You know what I'm saying? They always tell you, the one saying is, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Why is you trying to get this conference to expose anything? You know what I'm saying? Because when you go to that next conference, guess what? Now you become a target. They're going to say, oh, yeah, man, let's keep fucking them over, because they just did this to this whole other conference.
Right.
So we don't know if they.
And if you think about it, if you're Fox, you're the Big Ten. Do you want to take that on, like that type of battle with ESPN, like in the sense, because really Florida State's beefs with ESPN for whatever reason, the whole Herb Street being fifth. And guess what? You're pretty much saying we're not going to go SEC. If the SEC wanted you, you'd have to deal with ESPN anyways. And a college football playoff still is going to be through ESPN. So fighting ESPN, the only way Florida State gets out of this is if they're able to agree on a settlement. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, we want this, we want this, we want this. And then they settle. All right, well, we're not going to show you this. And a part of me still thinks Florida State might go SEC, because the ESPN might be like behind the scene, hey, y'all in the ACC, come over to SEC and we'll figure it out. And Florida State would take that. But we'll see, but it's a real arrogant mentality that Florida State people have, and I'll say it on here, like they act like they want to be in a conference without Miami. Please, if y'all lose this annual rivalry and y'all go back to being 7-5 Florida State, y'all need this rivalry very much. And so miss me with that, oh, we want to leave them down there. No, you don't, because if you go to a Big Ten, you're not going to be able to play Florida and Miami every year at the non-conference game. So stop lying about that, man.
They don't believe that shit. That's called the hope and the dream patrol. That's all that shit be. Ha ha, we love y'all, da da da, we the shit, blah, blah, blah. You know, so you get to have them cool troll points. That's all that shit really.
Man, them people don't exist without Miami. Let them, listen, they live their life to understand that they have to face Miami every year. Hey, yep. Don't let them tell you bullshit. They wake up.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
they do all this.
Two sides of the same coin. It just go together. Hate us or love us. When you flip over, we right there. When you turn, it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
When you wake up, Miami's on your mind.
Ain't no escaping it.
Yes, it goes. It's just what it is. It's part of two sides of the same coin. And I don't want it no other way. I want to line it up. Let's keep some traditions in football. They're changing every fucking thing as it is.
Yeah,
you should be praying to keep Miami around.
At least keep the best tradition in football. Like, come on, Florida State and Miami, that's just one. You come on, like, that shouldn't even be a question mark.
Everybody's still going to watch this shit. I don't care how sorry it is. Everybody's still going to watch it. Everybody's going to know what the fuck happened in the game.
That's why I say it's just trolling and shit. When you get people off the internet and you talk to a true Florida State fan, they want to play Miami. What are you talking about? Like, even if it's just a win, like, that's It's not college football without Miami, Florida State. It just don't feel right. It just does not feel right. And I bet you the majority of them will tell you if they had to kick one, they'll kick Florida. If they made them pick, just from my experience, it's just, you know, my friends that are Florida State fans, I think if they had to pick it, it'd still be us. So it's just, you know, leave some shit alone and quit lying. Stop lying. You know you want to play Miami.
I think sooner or later, all the in-state schools going to wind up playing each other every year. I think eventually that's what's going to boil down to. I think we're going to play UCF, USF, Florida State, and Florida. I think we all going to.
Miami and Florida State and Florida should all play every year.
Because you got to think about it. Florida played three of them this year. They played UCF, Florida State, and Florida.
The SEC just added Oklahoma and Texas. Florida finna try to get out of playing anybody who they don't have to play.
Bro, y'all seen Florida's schedule this year, bro?
I think that's what's to come though, because we getting rid of all these conferences. It's just you're not gonna have nothing but eventually a few more years, you're gonna have a two. And then it's going to have to be like broke down into huge subdivisions. And then we're going to expand to a 16 game playoff.
So basically, it's going to be like the NFL. You got the AFC, you got the NFC.
Semi NFL. You got the AFC, you got the NFC. You have the Big Ten, you have the SEC.
Because you already got the contract shit going on. So that's damn the only thing left you got to do.
Yeah, so you can
see. You got to think about it, man. You know how much money will be generated if you just playing your in-state rivals that you don't get to play? I think you'll generate a lot of money in-state just doing that alone.
It would be fun. I'd love to see it. You know, it would be fun. Hell, we need I'd love to watch football.
That could be bad for the state schools, too, though, if, like, you only got, like, one raw team. Because we've seen that before.
Yeah, because Georgia ain't got nobody to play.
Right.
Georgia Tech, that's it. But that's, you know, that became an annual ass whooping. Florida got
the one good thing I think that's this works. If all of the state schools say they're gonna play each other, I think it works with recruiting because now all of them say, hey man, I wanna play against them people that I play against high school instead of college.
Yeah.
Which is why Florida State and Miami was good. Guess what? All the top players is going to Florida State and Miami because they were saying, well, shit, I'm going to play against that nigga in high school. I mean, in college.
Right. So it's that rivalry continuing.
You get the state of Florida kids that say, yeah, man, I'm picking the state of Florida school because I want to keep this thing going. Now it becomes detrimental to the rest of the country because they saying, we don't have that. It ain't the other country.
Yeah, you only got Texas. Could do that. Florida.
California, maybe. And that's it.
That's really about it. Every other state only really got a school.
I mean, okay, so Texas and Texas A&M. SMU is trying to get to a certain level.
TCU. Yeah, you still got Houston.
Baylor. We're talking about quality football. I'm talking about when Florida was good, when Miami was good, when Florida State was good, all the top players in the state was going to either one of those schools.
Right. Texas and Oklahoma typically.
The top players in Texas either go to Texas or Oklahoma. It just got to the point where that high caliber of football, like California, you got USC, and even USC, all the top players not even going there no more right now. They saying shit. We finna go to Oregon.
Yep, they going to Oregon.
But we doing all type of shit. So, and I'm talking now. Now you still got Florida State and Miami, three schools that top players are saying I'm either going to one of those schools or I'm going to a top in out of state school.
Yeah, that's true. I feel you because USC kids going to Washington now too.
Each other every year, I can almost guarantee that. Ohio State ain't getting the top players no more from Florida. No, Bama, Georgia, these them schools ain't getting it because them kids said, I want to stay in state and keep this shit going.
Yeah, I mean, things shift, and that's kind of the nature of the beast. We see in a lot of we happen to be in a new era, and things are changing. I think things will settle down a little bit, hopefully in the next couple of years. But you think about how much we're seeing conference realignment. You got the video game came back. You got this transfer portal. You got NIL. The game is so much different than the one I grew up watching. Or even the game that you knew 10 years ago. 10 years ago, college football was nothing like it is now.
5 years.
Right. 5 years ago, I would say even. But I'm hoping we're settling down a little bit. I think they're going to tweak NIL a little bit more and fine-tune it in these next couple of years, kind of get a little rain on some of that. Same for the transfer portal. I think they're going to tweak that. Kind of get some of the fine tuning done with that as well. And then I think you'll see a period. Well, now I was about to say, because you still got to worry about conference realignment. So I don't know. We may still be another 5 to 10 years away to seeing the game kind of get comfortable again to where you can kind of expect what college football is for a while. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The old head in me hate it. The old head in me be like, yo, this shit trash. I wanted these kids to get paid, but not the way they're doing the shit now. But it is what it
is. They gonna get paid even more after these conferences, I feel, get aligned. Like, well, all this money getting pumped in, the money just keep going up. Union. Right.
Because the thing is the biggest thing, like, a lot of people aren't paying attention to a lot of this stuff, is people keep thinking, the schools ain't giving them none of their money. They get the scholarship from the school, which allows them the use of the facilities and all of that shit, and, you know, a food cycle, blah, blah, blah. The school not giving them no money. Now, if they unionize and shit, which could definitely be coming down the pipeline, then the school would be, you know, hey, we need our cut of this money, especially y'all getting blah, blah, blah TV dollars. We need this. It's weird. It's turning pro. It is legit turning pro, man. So we'll see how much are you still going to like it once it continues to evolve to that level, because I do think unionization is on the horizon, because they're going to be considered employees, not student athletes. So I don't know. Next chapter in the book, we'll just keep watching, man. You know, we'll just continue to see how this thing continue to grow. I want to talk real quick before we get out of here. We've been here a minute, man. Let's spend the last little segment. I want to speak briefly on recruiting. You know,
yeah, the fact, cycle. We're getting a commit tonight. We're going to get us a commit tonight. We just got one yesterday. We finna go on a little run, you know, a little early.
I mean, you could probably say the name, since they're not going to listen to this till like tomorrow or something.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know, because I don't know. Did the person announce their announcing?
We got the offense. So, yeah, no, so the offensive tackle, yeah, Jane Wilkerson.
Yeah.
He's announced it tonight.
Tonight. He ended up committing tonight. Another big 6'6", but probably not going to play tackle. Probably most likely going to play guard once he get to college. You know, but he's a big guy. They just got one yesterday, Demetrius. He's another big 6'6 guy. That one I'm very, very, very excited about, because that motherfucker can move. Boy. When I say move,
he's a basketball, yeah, too.
He's a basketball player. Yeah, Demetrius Campbell.
Footwork, and he's strong, you know, so I'm very, very, very excited about him. I don't know why his evaluation as far as what the recruiting site isn't high, but whatever. We're going to go and get two defensive backs. One being Amari Wallace, defensive back safety at Miami Central, and then Chris Ewald, cornerback from Chaminade. He's going to commit on the 27th, actually, which is next week. He's supposed to go up
you
to
penciling him in?
Huh?
You penciling him in this class, or you saying we got a shot still?
Because he got visiting Georgia this weekend.
Well, I've been like months ago, I've been said both of these guys, Amari and Chris, were going to be Canes. And this past weekend just solidified my decision with putting both of those guys into the Kane class.
So you don't think Georgia gonna try to do no last minute effort?
Nah, I don't think Georgia can do anything possible to get Chris.
Well, the one thing that we got over Georgia is our NIL. Georgia's still trying to sell old school football. And I think that's going to come to bite them in the ass in the next few cycles, especially if they don't – because essentially, more and more, this becomes the norm. These kids will be like, yeah, whatever, cool. I'm trying to get this bread, though, shit. Yeah. I'm going to go to the league because they think that anyway. They already think it's 16, 17. They going to the league any fucking way. So they like, listen, that's cool enough. I hear you. But Miami going to give me this bag, and I'm going to the league in 3 years anyway. So what kind of bag you got for me? Well, we win national titles. National title, my ass, motherfucker. My mama home. I'm saying we trying to move up in the world a little bit. I'm trying to put some money in my pockets. I think that's one of the biggest things. You're going to continue to see. Now, do I think they will eventually start to get more in that arena? Sure, I really do. I think they do because they got the resources. They got the alumni base. It's not going to be the same in Miami, I don't think, but. I do think that's causing them recruits now. I mean, you heard Brian Kelly crying about it with LSU when we was able to get Barrow and they wanted Barrow. He not in the business of paying players or buying players or something, he said, of that nature. Because you got to think these traditional SEC powerhouses, they don't have the same network of alumni. So they're going to have to electrify their base in a different way to get them accustomed to the idea of even paying. They can't, they've been paying behind doors, but now you got to try to reach out to the common man to create your Canes connection, to create something that can rival that type of NIL situation. Because the bag man, he can go through the front door now, as opposed to, sneaking in through the side window. But all in all, I don't think right now they're not competing in that arena as well. So if a kid really interested in Miami and Georgia not just automatically going to win that because they're winning football right now.
I can't connection bag just seem dumb heavy, boy.
Everybody gets it. Like, everybody we bring in damn near is Kane's connection.
Yeah,
they commit or they transfer in 2 weeks later. Welcome to Kane's connection. Everybody signed their paperwork because they hear.
Man, them people dumping money in Kane's connection, but
bro, I'm telling you, that bag is
they dumping some bread in there.
Sometimes I even be thinking like, how the fuck?
I've been giving to like over a year now myself. So I mean, I ain't giving nothing crazy. I get $58 or whatever. Other people, you got to think, but there's a guy out there giving 100, there's a guy that giving 1,000.
Yeah.
Now you just multiply that, to have, the alumni base or just the fan base that just want to be a part of, bringing this shit back. All that counts and all that adds up, but every school isn't having that same success. So for as much as they always clown Miami for being broke and thinking that their alumni don't care just because they can't be at every football game because they don't live in Miami anymore. These people are still proud. They still love Miami football. Miami football increased their enrollment period.
Yeah.
Just the application fee. Same thing happened in Alabama. You look at Alabama, what it cost to apply Alabama 20 years ago versus today, totally different. Why? Alabama football, more people want to go. The football charges all that shit, so it's the same thing. So you get some of that. It one hand washes the other. It helps. Each helps feed each other. So anyways, but in the recruitment realm, right now we are, 48th. We're sitting at 8 hard commits. Our highest rated commit right now would be, I guess you got, what, Rock Shot?
I think it's him.
Rock Shot's our highest commitment, the tight end out of Indiana, 4-star, he's 92 rated, the tight end.
And then Pringle, I think.
Yeah, and then Pringle.
Martinez, the linebacker, right?
Melendez.
Melendez.
Melendez. It got to be Melendez.
Hey, what's the deal with him?
A composite 3-star?
Yeah, he should have three-star on a composite, yeah.
Oh, boy, they dropped his ranking. I don't know why, but his ranking dropped. He definitely was a four-star.
He's 39th at his position.
No, he was always a three-star in his composite, Rob.
Yeah, I'm looking even
before
looking
he committed. Right now. No, even before he committed, he was a three-star. I definitely remember that. And then 247 had him damn near like top 115 or something like that. No, he was always a three-star.
Melendez is a four-star.
On a composite?
I don't.
No, yeah, 247. He's either one of them got him.
Yeah, he's a four-star on a composite. He's a 94 rating on a composite.
So 247 got him as an 89 then.
Oh, okay. The 247.
Yeah, my bad. 247 always had him as a three-star. Yeah, one of them always had him as that.
Yeah, 247 has him.
I was looking at the 247 rating, not the composite.
247 been slacking with their rankings. Yeah, everybody fucking leaving.
He's a 94 composite.
Well, because everybody leaving to go to on three.
On three about to be the standard now. About to be the standard now.
Well, the same dude who created 247 created on three. He just get bored and started a new company. Like
he got the biggest name out there. He grabbed Will Farm.
They created on three, and on three basically was 24/7 at one point. On three was Rivals at one point.
Right,
they all the same people.
It's funny. Most people say they ain't never gonna sign an on three. Now it's all I'm seeing is on three articles getting sent.
Nah, that's not shit, though.
Yeah, that's what a big dog
said. Remember when Bleacher Report was an absolute joke?
Yeah,
Bleacher Report was the first one to tell me that Gruden was gonna be the coach of Miami. I remember that shit. Oh shit, we get Gruden. I'm selling out. Oh, I'm selling out. Bullshit. And now they're reputable. You know, one of the top sports. You don't even think Sports Illustrated anymore. I get all my sports news from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
These things are all, but literally the same guy that bought that started 247 started on three. That's why I said that's why Bird went over there so fast. He dropped a nice bag.
Yeah, they all the same people. It just when he started 24/7, they got big and they went and started on three and they got bigger.
And he sold it to CBS. That's how you do with businesses like that. You buy it. You sell it. So now he's going to build on three and then he'll probably sell on three to like Fox. You know, that's just the business. Or ESPN, because ESPN, they should, nobody even pay ESPN.
Well, ESPN has its own.
Yeah, but nobody pays
it. Yeah, it ain't been good in 15 years, though.
They don't really send people out to game. They just get information from everybody else. They be like, okay, well, we're gonna ride with it this.
Yeah, exactly. So they might tap into that base that they're missing out on because they got lazy with it basically. Because like I said, you don't even look at ESPN when it comes to the recruiting rankings and any of that shit no more. I think the only reason they get mentioned at all because they still air. What they air like
high school games? They air like the Saturday showcase.
UA all American game.
Then a couple of the big high school games, right? Yeah. Other than that, they don't really get mentioned.
Arena. The reason why ESPN doesn't care as much is because football isn't the only sport they got. They got all the other sports. 24/7 on three. Don't nobody look at those for other sports. They be like, man.
Right, yeah.
Basketball player 24/7 or 1-3, and they don't care about no baseball. They be like, man, shit, we looking at ESPN because ESPN at least got that.
Yeah.
And they at least showing. You know what I'm saying?
24/7 got the basketball and stuff, too, but nobody don't go there.
They got it, but ain't nobody going to stand or check out 24/7 top player. They like, man, shit, that, we don't know. ESPN know if a nigga good in basketball, though.
That's facts.
They swan in the game.
Whoever you sell it to, that's gonna be the bottom line. But I bring up just to wrap up, we get up out of here. I brought up recruiting because it's been very similar. Do any of y'all get any bit of a different feeling about how this cycle is gonna go?
No, it's the same shit as the last 2 years.
Right.
Like last year we pretty much had still... this. Go ahead.
No.
Last year we had like the same people was crying about the same thing last year. Like, oh, we got all these three stars, or like we was ranked. I mean, I have my own opinion about the three stars with all the old linemen and stuff, but like it's literally the same thing this year. It's his last been the last 2 years. And plus two, this year may be just a little different because we literally, it's year three. Like, we have to, like, win this year. And with all the talent we have, a lot of players just might be, okay, just let me see something. Because the dream, you can only sell the dream for so long. You can't sell the dream for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Right, but I think it's still going. I still think top five class. I mean, we're going to have a top 10 class, I think, every year. I think the minimum with him is 10, no matter what happens in a season. It's just going to be 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, me and you kind of the same thinking.
Measy, I think he's going to be top three this year.
It could be. That's what I'm saying. Like top five,
I'm gonna go
whatever.
Five. I'm going to go five only because, and just know I'm saying this in some ignorance because, you know, ever since I ain't been on the old show, whatever, Roll Up, I don't follow recruiting quite as much as I used to. It shit is just exhausting as hell. Shout out to X. That's his gig. That ain't mine. So that shit, I'm like, bro, I got a regular gig too. So this shit hard to keep up with all these kids. But, I think part of my I may have like a little awareness on some of the big fish we still in there with. I know that ain't happening this year. The offensive line, I know definitely for the defensive back, we in there.
I agree with you
on
that. Yeah, the target list. Target list look a little. It looks slim with the like the top tier, top 50 guys compared to the last couple of years.
So I kind of wonder, will it be more of? Because I agree, I think this is a win season. You know, like I mentioned earlier, by everybody's expectations. So will we be looking to pull some more flips of some of these higher rated guys? Or is it going to be, because I don't think this year we're going to just sign them all like uncommitted guys. I think it'll be a little bit more of it's going to be some flips. Once we get out there and put the product on the field and they see some winning, that it'll be like, okay, wait a minute. I might have been kind of tripping on my ass.
Yeah, because we had that with our highest recruit last year. Justin Scott was a flip.
That's true. Yep.
You know what I mean? And the second highest
commit to Ohio State, though, because, you know, everybody had him coming to us. And then next thing you know, it was Ohio State. And like, what the hell? And then,
he was a surprise flip.
Yeah, at the end of the day. And then our second highest or third highest was the boy who's committed to Florida State, the D lineman, Central. So that's two right there out of the top three or four people in our class. You know what I'm saying? So,
you got to know is, man, Mario going to recruit. We're going to have a good class. Now, being successful on the football field just makes it a lot easier. So, saying like top three isn't out of the range, I'm still pointing at top three. One thing I'm telling people now is, you know, Miami is getting recruits at offensive line. They saying they three stars, this and this and that. Now, it's possibly that even some of the guys that we are getting don't sign on signing day. They go and get better or, you know, so-called better players. But the one thing they're doing is looking at possible potential gains in the future. These are guys who we think we could coach. So if you don't get those flips on signing day, you don't get those high-quality five stars, four stars.
You cover your ass.
And we could coach, and they gonna play.
Yeah.
So that's the one good thing. It's not that we're not landing the high quality guys. It's that we're landing guys who we can coach and we're gonna play for.
I think, you know, I don't know this, but I think off the top of my head, just kind of running through my head, I think offensive line might be one of those positions where when you look at the NFL, I don't know if it's littered with a bunch of everybody that's fours and fives. I think there's a lot of guys that were, you know, three-star guys that coaches saw, you know, the framework, the footwork, and said, okay, I could teach this kid to be one of the best offensive linemen in the country.
They said that might be the hardest position, the hardest position to scout in high school recruiting is an old
line. The offensive line is the hardest position to coach. Because, for one, everybody think it's just natural talent, and it's not, man, because now – the way the defensive line is coached and plays the game is hard. You know what I'm saying? You gotta normally offensive tackles are 6'6", 320. Back in the day, they go up against a 6'3", 6'4" defensive lineman who about 280, 290. Now they going up against 6'5", 250, who fast.
You got to be able to move, yo.
They like, well, shit, I can't be 320 no more. I got to get down to 300 pounds so I can move because them niggas move. So yeah, it's like
it's being flexed. It's technique. So yeah, and one thing I noticed with this class so far, what I've been hearing a lot with the offensive line, basketball player. So you're not dealing with guys that strictly play football. And with basketball, we all know is quick feet, right? So you got to be able to move. So a big man that's got no, you know, got some agility is key at playing offensive line. You just absolutely have to have it. Funny thing, when you ask the team who the best basketball player right now, Anaez Cooper. That's the one name I keep hearing come out. Anaez Cooper, mm-hmm. Offensive lineman, big dude. He's the best basketball player they got out there. Are you telling me it ain't one of these cornerbacks, wide receiver? No, it's the back. It's the big offensive lineman. So they have an idea of what they're looking for. And I've been a big proponent of multi-sport. I want all my team to be multi-sport. I want the quarterback to be the pitcher and point guard on the basketball team. I want them always playing sports.
Yeah.
I think that just builds all around elite athletes. So I always want my players on my team to be at least two sport athletes, at least play two sports, and then maybe even run track too. Yeah. So I'm always with that. Well, so he's got my full support when it comes to that.
I want five of Anaez Coopers on my. Just imagine if you got 5 3-star Anaez Coopers on the offensive line. You're going to have the best offensive line in the nation.
Exactly. I'm good with that. I'm very good with that. So I definitely, I really don't be like, I ain't worrying about the 3-star. Because when I look at them, I look at the frame, I'm going, oh, shit. Okay. He's 6'6", 310. I'm good with that. What are we talking about? Body composition already looks good. We was bringing in, 6'2", 330.
Right.
These guys just, they weren't – you can't project that to the NFL. Chances are they just aren't going to go. That's just proof of the matter. But I can look at 6'6", 310, 320 and go, shit, that boy get the right tool.
Yeah, they already saying Tommy Kendrick look good.
Right. Again, you're looking at these large frame guys that have, like X was saying earlier, they're looking to guys that they think can play NFL ball. Not just guys that might be pretty good at the collegiate level. And that's what we had to settle for in the past with our O-line especially. We didn't have a great O-line until Mario got back. And you have to go back to Mongo and Chantrell, Linder. That's the last time we had a pretty damn good offensive line.
Casey McDermott.
Right. Yeah. That's what all those guys were, NFL guys. This is a team full of NFL guys. So, And Feliciano definitely was a 3-star. He's still playing. He with my 9-9. The big contributor for us last year. So, I definitely don't get bogged down in that when it comes to the offensive line. I get a little – you want to see me, sweating a little bit. I'm looking more position guys when it's 3-stars. I don't want my team littered with 3-star wideouts and shit. That's when I start going, I don't know, bro. You take one or two, but
yeah, that's red flag.
Championship ball, you got to play. Your skill position is going to have to be some of those high-rated guys. Those are the guys I think pan out more consistently with their ratings than definitely in the offensive line. Defensive line, I even think, still does well based on rankings. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to get quick opinions on that. I do think we still finish top five. I just think, yeah, it's going to be – I think we're going to end up getting surprise flips. So guys that the coach staff probably never quit working on. And just kind of kept a relationship. And you got to remember, too, these kids ain't all dumb either. Some of them keeping quiet. Like, all right, coach, I'm hearing you. I'm going to watch you this week, see what y'all got this week. And then coach called me after games. I told you, and that type of thing. So I think we still going to do top five. Y'all say top three even. I'm definitely ain't knocking it. We pull it off. But, yeah, I was just interested to see how the temperature in general. Like I always say, it is what it is till it ain't. So we did it last year. We did it the year before. There ain't no reason for me to think it ain't going to happen again this year. But anyways, get up out of here, man. We've been out here hanging out with y'all for a minute. Appreciate y'all tapping in. Another great episode.
Already.
26 Degrees, man.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace, peace, peace.
We going to let the band deal with this. We'll be right back.
26 degrees.